Today's scripture is Luke 12, 22 through 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. There is more to life than food, and more to body than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither plant nor harvest. They have no silo or barn. Yet God feeds them. You are worth so much more than the birds. Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment of your life? If you cannot do such a small thing, why worry about the rest? Notice how the lilies grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, how much more will God do for you? You people of weak faith, don't chase after what you will eat and what you will drink. Stop worrying. All the nations of the world long for these things. Your Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. Make yourselves wallets that don't wear out, a treasure in heaven that never runs out. No thief comes near there, and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is where your heart is. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Hallelujah, Lord, you are alive, resurrected with us this day. And Lord God, we would know more and more that resurrection love, that resurrection power. So Lord God, as we engage your word this morning, we would just ask that you would completely fill us with your Easter joy. That we know that Easter isn't just a season, isn't just every Sunday. Really, Lord, Easter is every day. Your resurrectedness is with us always. May we know that now, Holy God, at this time. It's in love for you that we pray. Amen. So, when I alluded to a season of Easter, what I'm saying, friends, is that we're going to be celebrating the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from now all the way through Pentecost Sunday, which is May 28th. So mark that on your calendars. We're going to be going, woohoo, Jesus. Every Sunday we'll feature an Easter hymn, or I'll try to feature an Easter hymn, so that we're going to celebrate at that time. This is a time where we celebrate that Jesus is with us. But there's something that's amazing about Jesus being with us, is that Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection, well, it changes something in us. In the weeks to come, starting today, I want us to get used to a wonderful word, and that word is radical. Can you say that with me? Radical. Now, radical can be a noun. It could be, you know, that dude's radical, right? Or that dude is a radical. But more often than not, radical actually is one of my favorite adjectives. It describes a noun. And basically, when you put radical with something, that means that whatever that something is, well, something foundational about it is going to change. Radical love, something foundational about that love is going to cause a change. You can say that Jesus' resurrection was radical, right? Not just a radical event that happened in the past, but a radical process that keeps on going. It changes everything about how we consider how God's love operates in our world and in our lives. It changes our very concepts of what life and death is all about. Now, what's really radical about Jesus' resurrection, or one of the radical aspects, is this. When we experience resurrection, we're not just supposed to be passive participants. Oh, we're saved. Now I'll go about living my life as I've always lived it. No! Resurrection implies, demands a call on our lives. And that call is to love like Jesus, live like Jesus as Jesus teaches us. There are some wonderful teachings in the Gospels that we readily embrace. How about that golden rule kind of thing, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Like that one. We can do that one. Even the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes. Love your neighbor as yourself. A little bit more tough. But we can do that too. We love those teachings. Even if they're a little difficult, we can embrace those teachings. But let it be known. Let it be known that there are some teachings of Jesus that are not so easy to embrace. These are teachings, these are sayings of Jesus that stretch us. Dare I say, they are radical. Teachings like, I don't know, sell all you have and give to the poor. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. Not everyone enters the kingdom of God. Become a servant, not the master. And love your enemies. Yeah, we just readily do that every day, right? No, we don't. These are radical sayings of Jesus, radical teachings of Jesus, because they imply that in order to truly do what Jesus asks us to do, that requires a transformation of the heart. Today, we begin with a teaching that doesn't seem all that radical. At first, it's a teaching I think that we would really want to embrace, and that's what you see up on the screen right now. Be anxious about nothing. Oh yeah, if only it was that easy. A week ago Thursday, I was really happy and excited. It was Holy Thursday, if you think back on those times. And I was excited, but I was also a bit worried, a little anxious, because there were a few things that I still needed to put together for the Holy Thursday service that evening. Not only that, but I had a couple of errands to run, one of which was to pick up our little communion juice dispenser from the brick house, because we seem to be leaving pieces of ourselves at the brick house every time we worship there on Wednesday lately. And I'm thankful for Jen and for Roxy for saving those items back. So I go to the brick house, and who do I find there but Margaret Lynch, and one of our members. And it was just awesome to see her. I always love seeing people I know at the brick house. And we got into a conversation. And she let me go up to the counter. And I went up and I asked for our little juice dispenser. And just to help support local businesses, I said, well, I'd like to have a large mocha. Well, Margaret very generously purchased that mocha for me. Thank you, Margaret. And I know it would be delicious. So what I did is, after our conversation, I went out, went to the car, threw in the little plastic juice thing, and then as I had the cup in my hand and I started to get into the Subaru, all of a sudden, crush. Behold, splatter everywhere. What you're seeing there, you see those little light edges there? Yes, I splattered the whole central column where the gear shift is, all the little indicators, all the trays. If you look down and lower, you'll see that the large mocha rapidly went to a very micro mocha there. Margaret, I'm sorry. Thank you for the gift. But I shared the gift all over my vehicle. It splattered the steering wheel. It splattered the steering column. It splattered the whole driver's side floorboard. I don't know how this happened. It splattered the driver's side window and other things. And since I was between all that, it splattered me. Now, friends, when I wrote this sermon, I thought, well, I'll be witty here, and I'll say I baptized these things with the mocha, but it was not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you know what I mean. So, I got composed, I drove home, and got cleaned up, went out and wiped down the car, and everything was well with the world. A first world problem was alleviated. But don't you know that messed with my mood the whole day? I was stressed and anxious for the whole day. And it was that stress and worry wasn't alleviated until we had worship that evening, because I love worship and I love worshiping our Lord. And it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for our Holy Thursday service that evening. But as I reflect on that, I'm thinking, man, I was worried before the mocha mayhem. I definitely was stressed during, and I was stressed afterwards. I have a friend that tells me that he has a spiritual gift of worry. Yes, I do believe I have that gift as well. But I'm not the only one. I'm thinking that Jesus knows what he's saying when he teaches us to be anxious about nothing. I know that because I did a word search in my sermon directory. And I did a word search to see how many sermons did I use the word worry or anxiety. And friends, there were hundreds of sermons. I would say probably, if I was to count them, it's probably about 2.5 years worth of sermons over the 9 years I've been here that deal specifically with worry and anxiety. Oh, especially in 2020, right? We all struggle with worry and anxiety. Every day, there's something that we worry about. We worry about our family. We worry about our spouse, our kids. We worry about our work. We worry about our school. We worry about relationships that are breaking. We worry about you know, in situations that we know we're going to get in that are causing us to break out in a cold sweat because we don't want to be in that situation. These are the everyday anxieties that we have. We have very real concerns out there. You know, the concerns of illnesses. You know, people still get COVID. We have concerns about school shootings, shootings in public spheres. Every week we hear of a shooting. We have all these, in war and terrorism, we have all these very real things that we worry about. But part of the thing we worry about is worry. And worry doesn't solve anything. And yet, try as we might to extradite ourselves from all that worry and anxiety and stress, we have to say that we live in a time of high anxiety. Friends, we are not the only people in the history of the world to live in such a time as this time of high anxiety where everything makes us anxious. It was the same in Jesus' time as well. The people that he was speaking to out of Luke today were also experiencing a time of high anxiety, right? They were being oppressed by another regime, the Roman Empire, that was taxing them and putting all sorts of pressure on the people that are there. And you know what? Their economic system was a little bit different than what we have in the United States of America today. You see, in their time, 90% of the people gathered were living in abject poverty. They were poor. You see, you had a very tiny elite class, an even smaller merchant class that we would call middle class, but mostly everybody was poor. And it's in that context that Jesus says, don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your life. It was a time where everything was day to day. And I think that's very important for us to know exactly who Jesus was talking to. For Jesus was really talking to two different populations that were there. He was speaking to the haves and the have-nots. The haves are those people who have resources to better their situation in life and can readily access those resources. The have-nots, not so much. They have little or any resources to help them in their lives. Before the passage that Kathy shared with us today, Jesus was talking specifically to the haves that were in the crowd. Somebody yelled out, Jesus, tell my brother to share his inheritance with me. I'm telling. Tell him to share, Lord. And Jesus looks out in the crowd and says, basically, life is more than possessions. You know, the haves are very worried about their possessions. They can get them, but they worry about holding on to them. Jesus says, so that life is more than that. And then he follows up with this parable about a wealthy farmer. I think you've heard it before. A parable where a farmer is bringing in all this harvest and he's super, uber successful. And he goes, look at all this. I got to tear down what I got and build up bigger. I got to store all this stuff because one day I can just let it go and just sit back and relax. But see, he's focused so much on getting all this stuff that he doesn't focus on anything about the Lord. And in the parable, the twist is, you fool, tonight you're going to die. And all this collection, all this focus of yours will be for nothing. Focus instead on the ways of God. Jesus was speaking to the haves. And I was just mindful of that. You know, thousands of years later, George Carlin was being prophetic when he says, our houses are places where we put our stuff so that we can go out and get more stuff. He doesn't use the word stuff sometimes. I came home from my Mocha Mayhem incident, and I was like, oh man, my clothes are a mess. As Tammy said, you really anointed yourself with this stuff. And so I changed up. But you know, I had a change of clothes. I cleaned up the car. If you were to ride with me, you would still go, I know the essence of Mocha. Such that I have renamed the Subaru the Mocha-mobile. But at least I have a great car to drive. I'm a have. We, in this room, an element of us are haves. Jesus today, the words that Kathy shared with us, talking to the have-nots. He's talking to the 90% that didn't have much or didn't have anything. He's talking to his disciples who became that way because when they followed Jesus, they let go of their livelihood, whatever they were doing, so that they could follow Jesus, and they were relying on the kindness of people to support Jesus in his ministry. He's talking to them, but even talking to the have-nots, those words have meaning for haves and for them. Because when you don't have anything, the anxiety is very real. And yet Jesus is saying, you can let go of that worry too. You can let go of that worry too, even though you don't have much. You can let go of that as well. For those of us in this room, there is a part of our lives that's have not too. We have a chronic illness. We're in relationships that aren't good. We're having trouble at work. And try as we might, using the resources ourselves to try to alleviate that, we find that we can't. That's a situation where we become the have-nots too. So we need to listen to these words of Jesus. Because Jesus' words are not naive and they're not glib. But what Jesus is trying to advocate here is, friends, there are things that we worry about. But you're letting that worry destroy your life. What you need is to focus not on that worry, but on God and God's kingdom. You hear what I'm saying here? To focus on God's and God's kingdom. And that's a very tough thing for us to do. Because we want to, for those of us who have, so we want to keep what we have, and we want even more. And for those of us that don't have enough, man, we want something to help. But the fact is that the worry about it can kill us. It kills our joy. It can lead us into addictive behaviors, because what is an addiction but a behavior, a state of mind where you're always doing something that's harmful for yourself because you're searching to have something that you're not getting. So it leads to addiction, and it can kill your soul. Jesus knows very much that we have needs. That's why he said, it's not just you, but all the nations. You know, the nations kind of refer to those that don't know Jesus. He said, everybody's got worries, and the Father knows that. But the Father desires for you to know God and God's kingdom. And if you focus on that, then that can lighten your heart to deal with the worries and the anxieties you have. Jesus is not advocating, by the way, that you stop working, that you don't stop providing for those that you love. What Jesus is saying is, don't kill yourselves worrying about providing for people, for working. Find the joy, find where the kingdom is that's always present and sharing life. Friends, that kingdom is all around us. And what makes this teaching so radical about being anxious about nothing is that what Jesus is advocating is a total change of our heart, to take a look at our worries, to take a look at our stresses, to take a look at our anxieties, and to look at it from a God perspective. Sometimes that will mean that, you know, for some of us that has some really high anxiety and disorders, we need to find help so we can be able to do that. But for a lot of us, it's like, how can we be able to look in that perspective? Well, sometimes a bit of travel can help with that, to kind of step out, to go out into the world beyond your own neighborhood and to see how other people are doing. And that could put your worries in perspective. There are those of us that have been blessed that we've been able to go on mission trips around the world. I was able to go to Nicaragua. And while I was there, I saw people who were blessed beyond measure, blessed beyond anything that I feel sometimes I am. I visited homes that, a shack, probably the width of, well, it had to be more, maybe not, I don't know. The width of our altar here, made out of discarded tin, corrugated steel, wood, cardboard, that housed a family of four. And I saw bunches of those crowding along the road in Managua. And yet when I visited people there, they were happy. I know they had stresses and worries, but they were able to talk about where they're finding joy in life. I went into the mountains, and I was able to see people that, I went into a mud hut that had been standing for years. A mud, everything out of mud, a big mud dome. Go into the front living area, there's a chicken in a corner and a baby over here and you know, a clothesline across the way. And, you know, there's a big family that was living in that mud hut. But folks there were filled with joy. It puts things in perspective when there's a power outage and I can't get the internet. You know what I'm saying? You know how anxious I get if I can't get connected? And I know that others of you do too, for I have read Facebook. Harrisonville, rant and raise, woo! A lot of ranting going on. We worry about that. Here's the thing. Our God loves us so much that our God desires to give us the kingdom. Amen? That means God desires us to live there. And God does that, friends, by allowing us the way that we can share Jesus' love. And how do we share Jesus' love? Well, with the gifts that God gives us. And you know what those gifts are? Each other. You're a gift to somebody. You're a gift to somebody to share Jesus' love with another. And that's how we are called to deal with all of our stresses and worries and anxiety. If we can overcome our barriers and we can share Jesus' love with each other and we can support one another. That's what it's all about. Jesus works through us. God's love works through us. The Spirit anoints others through us. And so, friends, I advocate in prayer to open ourselves up to the kingdom. But I also know it's tough. Why? Because we worry. We worry about what people think if we really share with them. We worry that we're going to be judged. We worry that we're going to be rejected. But fear not, little flock. For the resurrected Christ is alive. And with the Father and the Holy Spirit anoints all of our lives so that we can be in the kingdom. So from this point on and forever, may we find our treasure, our heart, in the gifts of love around us as we embrace this radical teaching and transform so that worry and anxiety can fade away. And all God's people said, amen.